In Christ alone, no better place to be. According to Ephesians 1 and verse 3, that's where all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are said to be, in Christ. Dear friend, if you've never submitted your life in obedience to the will of God, you're outside of Christ, somewhere other than where all spiritual blessings exist. We would plead with you to think very seriously and soberly about your spiritual condition, about your eternal destination, and understand that there is a way to get into Christ, and that is through baptism, Galatians 3:27. We would certainly be thrilled to help you in your obedience this very night. We sang, I love the Lord, I love His Word, I love His church. It is a great privilege and a wonderful blessing to be part of the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I've said already this week, don't ever take that lightly. Don't take that privilege for granted. And don't be ashamed of the Lord's body. Don't be ashamed of His church. And don't be ashamed of the Lord and His way and His will. There are different things that God will call upon us to do that may cause others to question, that may cause others to persecute. But if you're doing the will of God, you stand on that and continue to uphold His will. With that in mind, I would bring to your attention the fact that one of the unique characteristics in the Church of Christ is the thing we've engaged in already, our vocal music and worship, our a cappella singing. And I'm asked about that from time to time, and when asked why we don't use the mechanical instruments of music, I simply point out that there's no authority for them today. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus declared, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And ladies and gentlemen, it has. And if all authority is claimed by Jesus, and He truly has that, that leaves no authority in the religious realm for me, for you, for any man or any group of men. Jesus has it all. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, Paul by inspiration wrote, and whate'er you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That phrase in the name of simply means by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And quite frankly, Christ, by command, example, or inference, by telling, showing, or implying, never authorized mechanical music in worship. And so its practice is simply without divine approval. And folks ask me about that. That's the answer I'll give. Needless to say, this answer does not convince most, and as a result, a number of arguments are advanced in effort to show authority and divine approval for mechanical music in worship to God. And so for the next few moments tonight, we want to mention and examine the most common arguments used to justify such. For example, some seeking to justify their instruments of music would say, now mechanical music was used under the old law. And you know, this is actually a true statement. That's right, they were used under the old law. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 25, where Hezekiah restores temple worship, notice the Bible says, and he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And so you see these cymbals, these stringed instruments, these harps brought into the worship, and yes, these various prophets had mentioned that, but it wasn't their opinion, it wasn't their ideal, it wasn't their doctrine, it wasn't their commandment. They were the messengers of God's commandment. Thus was the commandment of the Lord. That shouldn't surprise us. Mechanical music was commonly used in the worship of God by the Jewish nation. Over in the 150th Psalm. In Psalm 150, the psalmist exhorted, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so when I try to hide that or not let folks be aware of that, that's very true. Mechanical instruments of music were used under the old law by the Jews then and there. And under that same system and in the Psalms, we also read of the burning of incense. We read of animal sacrifices. Those things were authorized. Those were part of Old Testament worship. But here's the key. The old law as such was nailed to the cross. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, Christ abolished the old law, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, Paul said, which was contrary to us, and He has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, any obligation to fulfill the Old Testament ordinances was being done away with. Christ has broken down the middle wall of separation. He has abolished in His flesh the enmity, the law of commandments, Ephesians 2, verses 14 and 15. That old law, as a system, was given to the Jews and was never in the main design for the Gentiles. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. This old covenant, the animal sacrifices, the burning of incense, the instruments of music. Deuteronomy 5, 1 through 3, Moses called who? All Israel. And said to them, who? All Israel, the Hebrews, the Jewish nation. He said, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. And so here's this covenant and here's this system of law that God had for His people then and there, the old law, for the Jewish nation for a time. It would bring them to Christ. It would be the schoolmaster or the tutor to bring them to a better time and a better way. And once that better time and that better way, this Christian age, these last days that we're in now, the New Testament, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His last will and testament has gone into effect, we need not go backwards to the old law. To seek justification by the law of Moses is to be fallen from grace. We see that in Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, Paul warned against going back to the old law for authority. Here he's dealing with the matter of circumcision. Again, an Old Testament ordinance for the Jews. But he says in verse 1, Galatians 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is debtor to keep the whole law. You can't pick and choose. Be consistent. If you're going to go back there and look for authority from the old law, then keep it perfectly. This no man could do. But he's telling these brethren in Galatia, you've come on to something better. Don't go back. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ. Not a good thing. Who has become estranged from Christ? You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. In verse 6, he says, in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. No, there was a time and a place for that. There was a time when circumcision mattered. But Paul says no more, not in Christ. There was a time when these instruments of music were used, but no more. Again, today we live under the New Testament, which contains absolutely no mention of mechanical instruments of music in worship. I think it's interesting, even Presbyterian John Calvin, in his commentary on the book of Psalms, had this to say. He said, musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting up of lamps, the restoration of the other shadows of the law. The papists, therefore, have foolishly borrowed this, as well as many other things from the Jews. Men who are fond of outward pomp may delight in that noise, but the simplicity which God recommends to us by the apostle is far more pleasing to Him. Now, I differ on a number of things with Calvin, but on this, I believe he's right. And he's showing the inconsistency to go back there and how foolish it is to borrow that practice of old and usher it now to the modern day. I'll tell you, a second argument you're going to hear is this one. Some will say, well, mechanical music is not expressly forbidden. That's that old argument that, well, the New Testament doesn't say not to use them. You ever hear that one? Ladies and gentlemen, there are only two kinds of music. There's vocal music and there's mechanical music. And vocal music in worship is the only music found in the New Testament. You may want to write these verses down. Just to cite a few here. Acts 16 and verse 25. Talking about these men of God, these New Testament Christians, these disciples of Christ, Paul and Silas. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I want you to appreciate that's an R in that word, not an L. It's praying, not playing. They were praying and singing hymns to God. They're praising God in prison with their voices in song. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Christians are to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody where? In your heart to the Lord. So in New Testament worship and praise, there's a melody to be made. It's to be made in the heart, not upon the harp. Difference. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, more of the same. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 13. James 5, 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. I hope you'll appreciate not one mention of playing, but several examples of singing. Singing was specified. Now, when a specific is commanded, any other specific of a different sort is excluded. We have no trouble recognizing this back in Genesis chapter 6. When God commanded Noah to build that ark, he was specific in the type of wood to be used in that construction, wasn't he? He says, you build an ark of gopher wood, Genesis 6 and verse 14. And thus all other wood was understood as forbidden. God didn't have to come back and say, now Noah, don't use oak, do not use hickory, do not use pine, don't use birch, and enumerate all the other woods. No, he was specific. He said, build an ark of gopher wood. Today, God commands vocal music in praise. Therefore, all other kinds of music are excluded. When God requires a certain matter, he does not enumerate all other matters. It is understood that the specific is exclusive. Even Adam Clark, a Methodist commentator, recognized the exclusion of mechanical instruments. He said, music as a science I esteem and admire. But instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. Clark said, this is the abuse of music, and here I register my protest against all such corruptions in the worship of the author of Christianity. He says they have no place there. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, put it like this. You like this one. He said, I have no objection to instruments of music in our chapels, provided they are neither heard nor seen. If you're having trouble getting that one, ask your buddy. They'll help you with that. I have no trouble. But he says, we don't need to hear him. We don't need to see him. He was opposed to thee. Here's another argument. Some will say, well, you know, there's going to be mechanical music in heaven. Since there's going to be instruments of music in heaven, then who can say that it's wrong to have them today in the church? Revelation 14 is the proof text for this argument. Revelation 14 and verse 2. John writes, and I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. Now the Rari says that the voice was as harpers harping. But either way, what John heard was where? What John heard was in heaven, not on earth. There's no proof that we're privileged to have everything in the church that will be in heaven. Harps are mentioned, and harps in Revelation, they're symbolic for praise. Like golden incense bowls are symbolic of prayer, Revelation 5 and verse 8. Heaven's not going to be filled with material things, and we need to be careful not to give the spiritual, symbolic language a physical and literal meaning. And we've got to keep in mind that mechanical music under the Jewish system was not sinful within itself. But as a type, the antitype replaced it. We're to do some plucking. We're to pluck the strings of the human heart. We need not imagine that the type, the mechanical music, will literally be in heaven any more than the typical burning of incense would be restored. In his commentary on Psalm 42, Charles Spurgeon, Baptist preacher and scholar, he wrote, Israel was a school and used childish things to help her to learn. But in these days when Jesus gives us spiritual food, one can make melody without strings and pipes. We do not need them. That would hinder rather than help our praise. Sing unto Him. This is the sweetest and best music. No instrument like the human voice. Spurgeon said the use of instruments of music in worship is not a help at all. No, it's a hindrance. In another place, he said, I would as soon attempt to pray to God with machinery as to sing to Him with machinery. You talk about these arguments that many would advance. Here's another one. Some would say, well, mechanical music is just an aid. I recognize that a cappella singing, that vocal music is what is specified. We're just bringing the instruments in here to accompany that, to aid the specified vocal. Well, what's wrong with that argument? Using it simply as an aid. Well, the problem is mechanical music is another kind of music. An aid cannot be another kind. When the introduced is a different kind than the authorized, it then becomes a perversion. We see this with regards to Gospels in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul writes, Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. King James says, to another gospel. And then he turns right around verse 7 and says, which is not another. It's another gospel so called, but in truth, it's not the good news. And he goes on in verse 7, says, but there are some who would trouble you and want to what? They want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They're perverting the pure gospel with their another gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, that is another kind, a different kind to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. In the Greek language, the word anathema is used there. Let him be anathema. The strongest, the most severe of condemnations to be brought on such an one who would come in and pervert the pure gospel. What's the problem? Their other kind of gospel was not the gospel. Nor was it an aid to the gospel. Rather, it was a perversion. It was something other than the pure message. It was an addition. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a big difference in an authorized aid and an addition. You think about the Lord's command for us to baptize, to immerse. We're to go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so we're to baptize. That's commanded. We're to immerse. The various things that would be authorized as aids in carrying out that command. We could immerse individuals in a baptistry. We could use a swimming pool. We could use a river, a pond. Anywhere you can put water to where you can bury someone could be an aid to carry out that command, immerse. But what if the one who says, you know what, we're going to make this convenient. We're just going to sprinkle. We're going to baptize, and I notice in Webster that it could include pouring water on someone. And so now they want to change it that way. That's not an aid. That would be an addition. Those practices, those modes are something other than immersion. We've lifted up our voices in song this night. And we've been blessed with our brother Todd to lead us in that. That song leader is an aid to the command sing. The hymnals, the words on the screen and the music, those are an aid to the command sing. But not so with the mechanical instruments that are played. Not an aid, there's something other than, in addition to, the command sing. Martin Luther, he didn't see mechanical instruments as an aid, but rather he called the organ an ensign of Baal. Martin Luther said that. He said that organ, it's a standard of a false god. It's a mark of a false god. And again, as we said with Calvin, you might not agree with much of what Luther had to say, but you'd agree with that. It's not right. It's not of God. Are there other arguments you've heard? How about this one? Some, when they can't make the argument in English, they'll go to the Greek. And they want to bring out the word solo, the Greek word, and they'll say, that Greek word solo, well, that means mechanical accompaniment. It means accompaniment of the instrument with the singing. The Greek word solo is the word rendered making melody in Ephesians 5:19. We noted it earlier. Look at it once more. Ephesians 5, verse 19. We're to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and solo. The original language in the New Testament, it's the word solo there. Singing and solo, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now think about this argument. If it be so, if solo is teaching mechanical accompaniment, then mechanical music would not be an option, but rather it would now be a requirement. The language there's no getting around it. It is clearly a commandment. Whatever is said there is something that we must do. Also, the Greek grammar, the pronouns and the participles in Ephesians 5:19, the speaking to one another. And Colossians 3:16, the teaching and admonishing one another, requires that every Christian in the assembly simultaneously sing one to another. Now, if solo means sing and play on an instrument, then each Christian would need to sing and play. If not, why not? And really, instead of the single piano in the assembly, the solo arguer should provide as many pianos as attendees. The truth is, solo does not necessarily mean a sing with musical accompaniment. Solo conveys the action of twitching or twanging. Whenever the instrument was intended, it was always specified. Don't misunderstand, but there's a sense in which instrumental music is taught in Ephesians 5:19. That's why I carefully titled this lesson Mechanical Music. Instrumental music is taught in Ephesians 5:19. The instrument specified in Ephesians 5:19, the heart. The heart. Making melody. Twitching, twanging, plucking. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now you compare that with Psalm 33 and verse 2. Under the old law, it was praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. The new law again. Melodies to be made in the heart. I want to share with you W.E. Vine's comments on this word solo. Just primarily to twitch, twang, then to play a stringed instrument with the fingers, and hence in the Septuagint to sing with a harp. Sing psalms denotes in the New Testament to sing a hymn, sing praise. It's in Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Now, Vine's work is highly respected. I want you to listen again at what he said. He said, denotes in the New Testament to sing a hymn, sing praise. Ladies and gentlemen, the literal and technical meaning of solo in such verses as Ephesians 5:19 is to vibrate the chords of the human heart. Now, for whatever it's worth, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, the first Christians were of too spiritual a fiber to substitute lifeless instruments for or to use them to accompany the human voice. I get a little tickled when I read that quote. That's interesting. Those first Christians, those back there when, you know, they were getting it right and they had the apostles with them and they were worshiping God and serving Him, they were of too spiritual a fiber to substitute lifeless instruments for or to use them to accompany the human voice. Then what's that saying about the spiritual fiber of so many today? It's like this gal my brother was dating several years ago. She was not a member of the church, and they were discussing Bible things, and she went back to her daddy, and she said, "Daddy, what's really the difference between us and our church and the Church of Christ?" He said, "Honey, they're just a little more biblical, that's all." I was like, "Thank you for the compliment." But what's implied in that very statement, in that admittance? Oh, they're just a little more biblical. Maybe we ought to be a little more biblical, right? They were of too spiritual a fiber. Maybe we ought to be of more spiritual fiber. These are just a few of the arguments used to justify mechanical music and worship, and clearly, they're not valid. And so, ladies and gentlemen, to use mechanical music and worship, one must add to God's Word, and this God has never approved. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, early on it was warned, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." The ultimate goal, the desire at the end of the day, was to do the will of God, to keep His commandments. And they would fail in that if they started messing with those commandments, if they started adding to or taking from. So they're not to do that. You see the principle there. God gives it, don't mess with it. In Proverbs 30 and verse 6, the wise man instructed, "Do not add to his words." Don't you add to the word of the Lord. Appreciate the consistency here. Why are we not to add to His words? Keep reading. "Lest He rebuke you and you be found." What? "You be found a liar." Yeah. The Word of God is truth as it's revealed. And if I start tampering with that, and I start adding, I make modifications to that, then it's no longer that pure truth. And I'm a liar and I'm deceitful. Don't add to it. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, the last book of the Bible. We're told, verse 18, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." I understand, I get it. This is said specifically of the Revelation letter. But ladies and gentlemen, the principle certainly applies to the whole of the book of God. You don't mess with it. You don't add to it. Mechanical music is not part of the doctrine of Christ. That's serious, because 2 John verse 9, we know that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. You sever that fellowship with God. Mechanical music is not in Christ's doctrine. You may prefer it. You may think it feels good. You may use it in good conscience. But at the end of the day, it's still a doctrine of man. Matthew 15 and verse 9. Now, throughout this study, we've cited various denominational leaders and their opposition to the practice. I did not cite them as though they're standards, as though they're sources of authority. They are not. But it is interesting, isn't it, to see how some of these respected scholars by the masses in the religious world today, how they came down on this. And so their followers now have gone astray, departed not only from their teachings, but more severely, they've departed from the teachings of Christ. I've had folks that, they conjure up all these various reasons why we didn't use the mechanical instruments of music. They'd say, well, I guess y'all just don't like them. Or maybe y'all just don't know how to play them. Or I know y'all are kind of rural, poor church. Y'all probably just can't afford them, can you? Anybody ever told you things like that? Ladies and gentlemen, it's not that we don't like them. I promise you, it's not that we don't know how to play them. It's not that we can't afford them. It's that we want to be the people of God, doing the things of God, in the ways of God, according to the book of God. And we're more concerned with His will than our own. And yes, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want to state it and we want to practice it. Not my will, but thine be done. If God had wanted to be praised today by mechanical devices of music, why did He not simply say so? His silence speaks loudly. The only conclusion is that the Christian is to worship God with vocal music, not mechanical. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. James 5 and verse 13. Lord willing, we're going to stand in just a few moments and sing. Sing a song of encouragement to any who might need to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lesson like this, hopefully you're impressed with the fact that, yes, we need to have authority for all that we say and all that we do. And it does matter how we go about worshiping God. I've read where Billy Graham would say, the who is what matters, the how does not matter. Folks, both the who and the how matter. We must worship the one true God, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I hope that these things that we've shared tonight will be of help to you, perhaps in your own life, or perhaps as you go about and you want to teach others that are interested, that are concerned. If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not tonight? Why not submit your will to the Lord's will in all things? Come believing that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Repent of your sins tonight. In Acts 17:30, the Apostle Paul said, this time of ignorance God winked at or overlooked, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. You need to unashamedly confess your faith in Christ before men. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, according to Romans 10:10. On that good confession, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Acts 8:37. You can be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. You can put on Christ in that very act, have your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Acts 22:16. Be part of the Lord's church. Go on and be faithful. Look forward to eternal life in heaven, where we can sing praises around the throne. Ever and ever and ever. If you've never obeyed, why not tonight? If you've obeyed but not continued faithfully, please repent of your sin, confess your fault, pray God for forgiveness. If you wish to obey the Lord's will, we bid you come right now. As together we stand, as we sing.